Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, oh, hey, nah.
Welcome to Human Design Radio, brought to you by loveyourhumandesign.com. I'm your host, Peter Rowe. Welcome you to another week where we're going to talk about human design, and today we're going to be talking about the manifesting generator. But before we get too far into that, I'd like to bring on my co-host, Reverend Rick. Reverend Rick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's always a pleasure to be here.
And so we're talking about the manifesting generator today, and unfortunately I didn't get enough time. I was hoping to get a song to introduce you into that topic, Rev Rick. Your expression of the manifesting generator. Again, manifesting generator is one of the five types, and what I'm alluding to is Reverend Rick has a saying for the manifesting generator because it's really a marriage of two types. So, Rev Rick, why don't you take people through that?
Okay. The manifesting generator is what I lovingly refer to as the secret love child of the other two types. Depending on which circles you run around in, you'll either hear people talk about the five types of human design or the four types. There are four main types, and then the secret love child, the manifesting generator. And the MG, as I'll call it, is really someone who brings together all the aspects of the manifester and the generator. So what does that mean? Okay, a manifester. Peter, I'll take the manifester. You take the generator, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, so the manifester is someone who really is not here to wait on others. The manifester is someone who is here to initiate. They're the ones that start things. They're the ones that have that idea, that spark, that ignition that says, oh, I want to do this. And then they decide to go and do it. They don't need to wait on anyone else. In fact, everybody else is waiting on them to initiate something, because the rest of us are the ones that really need to respond to it in whatever way is appropriate for our strategies. The only thing about the only thing about being a manifester is that when you decide to do something, you really need to let other people know that you're doing it. That way, they'll be ready to respond to what it is you do. And Peter, you want to take the generator?
The generator is here to respond, is here to do things. They're like the car engine, or they're like the machine in the factory. Some action, some material, something is done, something is set into motion, and then the generator is there to respond. If it's the car engine, I guess in this case the driver would be the manifester, and they're pressing on the accelerator, dumping more gas into the engine so the engine's got the opportunity to respond. So it's going to respond by revving up. Or likewise, if the driver takes his foot off the gas and puts his foot on the brake, then the engine is now getting less material to work with. So it's going to slow down. It has less to respond to, or it has less materials to respond to, and so it's going to use those wisely and slow down so it can keep running and not conk out. And so the generators here, it's a physical energy that generators have. And so it's to physically do things. But again, that can be a whole range of, you know, all the way from ditch digging to painting a painting or even singing. You know,
absolutely,
all that has a physical attribute to it.
So when these two types get together, The resultant, and I don't want to say when these two types get together, I'm not referring to two people, I'm referring to the energy. When these two energies blend, they create what I refer to as the secret love child, the manifesting generator. The one who hates to wait is here to respond, but in that waiting to respond phase will sometimes sit there and say, well, I think I'm just going to go ahead and do this, and decides to go ahead and initiate anyway. Sometimes with good results and sometimes with not so good results. But they have the ability to do that. They are mainly here to respond, but when necessary, they can initiate. The key is they need to follow the same strategies that the parent types do. If they're going to initiate, they need to inform. If they're going to respond, then they need to wait for something to respond to. How's that for a nice little intro?
I like that intro. And you know, I have to say that, again, manifesting generators are about 35-36% of the population. And in a way, in terms of understanding human design, they have a little bit of an advantage, because anytime we're talking about the manifestor, anytime we're talking about the generator, and anytime we're talking about the manifesting generator, there's something you can learn out of this. Because all, as we're saying, it's a joining of those energies, and it's all applicable in some way or fashion.
Yep. And I'll even add, you know, there's one key element to being a manifesting generator, and I think this is probably anybody who's a manifesting generator will agree to this. Starting from the parent type, the manifestor, manifestors like to go fast. They like to just get out there and do. So I refer to manifestors as the people who work, you know, they do at the speed of light. You know, they move at the speed of light. The manifesting generator, however, thinks that's too slow. And so what they do is they prefer to move at the speed of thought, which is much, much faster than light. And therein can lie some of the dangers. I feel like the robot on the Lost in Space. Danger, manifesting generator, danger.
Watch out, watch out. Warning, warning. And it's true. And in fact, as you probably saw my article for this week, my blog post, and you want to head out there if you can, because we're going to bring on three lovely ladies, three manifesting generators, in a couple of minutes, and I have their charts out there. So if you go to loveyourhumandesign.com, and over on the right hand side, click on Peter's blog, and look for the article, Manifesting Generator, Why So Busy? Why are you so busy, manifesting generator? And that article will talk about it, but we're going to sum that up here today on the show. You have to understand that manifesting generators, they have the generator motor. This is what makes them a manifesting generator. They have the generator motor, the sacral motor, but they also have motor energy that is directly connected to the throat. And remember, in human design, the throat is the place that all the energy is trying to get, because the throat is expression, not just words, but any kind of expression, the way you dress, the way you act, gestures, singing, music, any kind of expression is throat energy in the human design system. And so if you have a direct connection, then, as Rev Rick said, if you're a manifesting generator, you can be traveling at the speed of thought. And really, this is at the core of why they are so busy, because they have such ease at expressing that their energy can just get out there. Some of us, like myself, I have actually no energy to the throat, and so you could probably detect it in my speech pattern. I have to pause. I have to allow that energy to percolate up to get there.
And not only that, Peter, but the throat energy, when that energy reaching the throat is motorized, that adds an element to, adds a new dimension, I'll say, to that energy of expression. And it becomes something of a creative type of energy where, you know, that's the manifestor element of it. You can bring things into form. You can bring things into reality that other people can't, or at least are not designed to on their own. They may be able to with the help of others. But that's part of that manifestor ability, is having that energized, that motorized energy coming to the throat. And that's, you know, a great deal of the power. Well, that is the power of the manifestor. That's a great deal of the power of the drive of the manifesting generator. They want to see those things come into reality. And they know they can do it. It's just that oftentimes they don't really understand what the best way to go about doing it is. And that's where human design comes in.
And so you will find that for a lot of manifesting generators, they love to multitask. In fact, they struggle not to multitask. One of the classic manifesting generators was our teacher, Karen Curry. And as she would teach our class that Reverend Rick and I took together, she had all kinds of things going. She had several children, so she would be teaching the class and passing notes, instructing, you know, the children, like, to do certain things. You know, she would be taking the dog out while she was teaching the class. She could just do a lot of things at the same time. And I had the privilege of meeting her. And even when talking to her, you could tell that just the speed of regular conversation, she had a lot more going on. Like, you could tell she was looking other places. She was processing, like, all these things that I can't even imagine as a generator being able to do at the same time. I guess this is where the chewing gum and walking at the same time comes in, that expression. But you will find that manifesting generators tend to want to multitask. And in conversations, they seem like they tend to drift off. And again, this is an area where it's not personal. They are most likely paying attention to you, but they need to pay attention to some other things because their energy gets bored.
And very quickly.
So, Rick, have you experienced that? Have you, any of the manifesting generators that you've come to know, you know, you'll be in a conversation, like they're somewhere else?
We've had conversations with our teacher, Karen, about fractals and the kind of people that we attract into our lives and, you know, how we're supposed to work with people, certain kinds of people. I am convinced that my fractal is that of a manifesting generator. I seem to have so many manifesting generators in my life, and every last one of them is so scattered in so many different directions that I would feel completely lost if I were doing the things they were doing. And most of them, believe it or not, are entrepreneurs. Most of them are people who get involved not just in one business. Some of them work at a regular job and then come home and they work not just one, but sometimes two and sometimes three different home jobs. You know, some of them, they've gotten involved in multi-level marketing, and others they've gotten involved in creating their own thing. They're, you know, using their own creative juices to start their own business. It's amazing to see how much they can get into and how organized they can be about it all. Now, not all of them are that organized, but pretty much every last one of them is running in several different directions at once and loving it.
And so I guess this is a good place where we can talk about strategy, because the manifesting generator, as Ricardo alluded to, they're here to do things in response. They're here to respond. They have some energy to initiate. And really, I think the strategy comes down to two things in my mind. One, don't get fooled into think that you're a pure manifester, because manifesting generators have that flavor of energy. That can be one path that they go down, and then they're spending all their time trying to manifest. They're out there trying to spark things all the time. And that's not really supported by the design. The design is to push the gray area of that manifesting responding line, but not just always be on that initiation side of it.
Right.
And typically in responding, that response chain, typically response happens in a chain, that you get some information, you do something in response, which may generate some more information or action that you again respond, and then, you know, and on like that. And typically with manifesting generators, it happens so quickly that it almost looks like they're initiating. But in fact, it's rapid fire response. And then the second tip that I'd throw out there in terms of strategy is most likely you're going to want to be busy. That's the energy that wants to be expressed. But make sure that most of what you're busy with is something that you're passionate about. And you all have the sacral, and there's debate on whether the sacral response works as well with the manifesting generator. I think if it's positioned right and the questions are asked right, that it absolutely works for a manifesting generator.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that tool to potentially check, is this something I should be doing? Because I'm willing to bet that probably 90% of manifesting generators have five things that they're doing that aren't really for them. And they're just doing them because they have the available energy, or they're doing them because they have the yes gate in their chart, the gate 29, that says yes to everything. Or they have some other aspect of their chart, that like an open spleen, that they're hanging on and doing something because that's what the open spleen wants to do, is hang on to things, and if you're a manifesting generator, potentially do things.
I'll even put that into a picture, Peter. You were talking before about the pure manifester. The pure manifester would be a match. And the manifesting generator would be a piece of wood. And when the manifester lights the wood, the response is the wood catches fire and it burns, and it does whatever it needs to do to keep on burning. So whatever manifesting ability a manifester generator has is still dependent on that initial spark from the match. Like you said, it comes in response. Go ahead.
And I guess if I fall back on your baseball analogy. I'm going to modify it a little bit, though. I was thinking about this as you were talking, bringing the five types together. And I would say, in a way, that the manifester is the pitcher, because the pitcher gets the ball, and each play starts with the pitcher.
Yep.
Nothing really happens if the pitcher just holds on to the ball, nothing happens. Unless, I guess, maybe the umpire's a manifester too, because he could come out and spark the pitcher to get going. But so the pitcher's the manifester, and when he throws that ball to the plate, the batter becomes the manifesting generator. And the batter can respond, he can initiate because he can strike at the ball. He can bunt, he can do all these things in response, but it takes that initial spark of the pitcher to get the game going.
Yep.
And then
absolutely.
Pretty much the rest of the players or generators, they're going to respond to wherever the ball goes. And the manager of the team is the projector, or the manager's out on the field for the batting team. You know, they're going to give the signals. They're going to be guiding and leading the players around the base path. And the fans are the reflectors. And they're going to, you know, if it's a great play, they're going to, for their team, they're going to reflect this joy and admiration. And if it's a terrible play for their team, they're going to express sadness.
You'll hear the collective, oh!
exactly. And you probably, you know, you probably have a mixture of fans of both teams that are going to express the different reflections based on their filters. But so that kind of that again gives you another analogy of how the five types work together, and that manifesting generator can't really just do the spark on their own. They need something else going on, some other stirring of the energy to make it happen.
Yep. And the key, like you said, Peter, the key is really to follow your strategy. You know, for every type interacting with others, the key is always to follow your strategy. But for the manifesting generator, it's so important to be certain that you're engaging in the activities that are appropriate for you, not just activities to use up your energy, but activities that are going to purposely use your energy, you know, to help you achieve the things that you're really looking to achieve. Because really, it is a collective, you know, it is all about the relationships, and each type has to be there doing their respective part for the whole to function as smoothly as possible.
Exactly. And I guess another analogy, and again, sorry if we're overdoing the analogies, but I think it's helpful for people to look at it in different ways, because something might resonate with you that one analogy doesn't. If you look at it in the car analogy, in a way, the manifesting generator is one of these, like, SUVs, because they're multi-talented. They have... You know, they can go on rough terrain, they can go on smooth roads. They've got this diversity that they can handle, they can use their energy, and they've got a lot of energy to do those things with.
Yep.
So I'm going to try to bring on some of our guests here, and let's see, I think we have on Michelle. Are you here?
I am. Hi, Peter.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Great. And Kim, are you on the line? Or how about Barb?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. I can hear you. Welcome, Barb.
Hi. Hi, everybody. Hi.
And Kim, are you out there? Try this one. Kim, are you on the line now?
Hear me?
Here she
we can
is.
Hear you now.
Oh, good.
Off in limbo.
Out of limbo and into reality.
You were just multitasking, weren't you?
I was. You caught me. So sorry.
Okay, and I just want to double check. Kim, Barb, are you still there?
I am.
And Michelle?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I opened up a couple extra phone lines there. I couldn't tell who was who, so. But we should be good. And Kim, you're still here, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So first off, ladies, you know, you've heard what Ricardo and I were talking about so far with the manifesting generator. Let's start with Michelle. How does that fit with your life experience?
I totally agree. I am a multitasker, and I do when I am in a conversation as well, I do actually try to think about other things as well, what I need to do. I do have to wait before I can do something. I need to be asked to join. I can't just initiate, or else something is not going to work out for me. Again, I need to wait for response.
And have you found that things work better for you since you've been doing that more?
I do, and it's helped me tremendously now that I know about my human design, what I need to do, and the more I practice, the better it becomes for me.
And Barb, how about you?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely helped me. I'm absolutely interested in all kinds of things, and it, you know, it can be at times overwhelming because I just find so many things fascinating. And you know, if my family's talking about what they're doing, I'm always right there going, well, tell me about that. And it's been a real challenge for me to stay focused on, okay, what is really, you know, what I want to do and what I really want to respond to and what resonates with my soul and the sense that I'm, you know, I have certain things that I want to accomplish, and how does what I'm hearing fit into things? Because often I can just kind of jump in many different directions, and what it does is just wears me out and slows me down instead of really being able to focus. So I guess part of that is, you know, you end up accomplishing a lot of different things, but you can really, I've found that I've really burnt myself out doing that. So now I'm kind of at a point of stepping back, waiting, taking a lot longer for the most part to make choices. And it seems to me that there's still things that are presenting, but I'm really taking a lot more time to decide if I'm going to respond to them or not, unless it's something like a car is heading for me or something. But, you know, if it's something that I've got some time to think about, I really am slowing it down a lot.
Great. And Kim, how about you? I know, Kim, you're a little bit newer to human design than Barb and Michelle.
Right.
But how do the things you've heard so far resonate?
Well, this morning I sat down and I read my report, and I was underlining so many things that were central to my being. And basically, when I left my husband, I had this drive to be doing, and I wasn't allowed to do in that environment. And I'm seeing these patterns that you've set out in different situations in my life, in graduate school, my current career as a freelance writer, taking on fascinating projects, but too many of them, and then feeling the frustration of things not moving forward. So, yes, there are a lot of elements here that are definitely me all over. I have a lot of questions. Basically, you've opened up more questions than answers. So I can realize that I'm very new to this.
But that's a good thing, because now you have something to be busy with, right?
Well, there we go, multitasking on a new project.
In one of the comments you made there, I think you brought up a good point, Kim, in that if, as a manifesting generator, you get too busy and spread out, you know, when you're working on a project, it requires different amounts of energy. There's the startup phase, which may take more energy, and then there's maybe the middle phase or a flatter phase that is, you're more coasting, so you've got more available time. But then there may be crunch times in that project, whatever it is.
Right.
And if you spread your resources out so much because you've got so much going on, you don't necessarily have the energy in those crunch times to devote to pushing that project through that phase. And if that's something you're really passionate about, again, that can be, as Kim, you alluded to, a frustrating point, that even though that project sings to your heart, you're not allowed to see it through, or it goes through rather slowly because you've bled off your energy and don't have that crunch time energy.
Right. And I have a tendency to want to see things through all the way to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that I've recently learned to let go of a project when I know I can't see it through. To just tell a client, I can't take this one on. The tendency was to take it on, A, for the money, because I'm supporting myself, and B, because I'm curious about where this is going to lead. But when the energy isn't sustainable, I have to cut it loose. And that's, I think, a real growth point for me personally, to be able to say no. That's a tough one.
Good. Good. It is a tough one, though. Not something that happens overnight.
No.
So, Reverend Rick, this is almost like, for those of you that come from this era, the dating game. We have three lovely ladies here. Would you like to ask them a question about being a manifesting generator, or?
Well, actually, I would rather make a statement. I almost feel like saying one of these things is not like the other, but that's not true. In this case, I've noticed that all three of these ladies have a particular element in their chart. And I think it's important to comment on that. Now, we mentioned that manifesting generators like to move very quickly, but that they still need to wait for something in their outer environment to respond to, and then from there they can move in whatever direction they need to move in. And ladies, I'm sure you're not going to like hearing this, but each and every one of you has a defined solar plexus in your chart. What mm-hmm. that means is that you now add the energy of the emotional wave into the mix.
Oh, dear.
And what that
means. I agree. Oh, dear.
What that necessarily means is you have to wait even longer. Because the emotional wave, we've all heard the expression, don't make a decision when you're angry. But the same mm-hmm. thing is true when you're happy. What that really means is when you're at either end of the wave, the high end or the low end, it doesn't matter. That's still a skewed view of reality, and it's not the place to make a decision. You have to wait until you're in the middle of that wave where things settle down for emotional clarity to really come in. And then when you're at that point, you know that whatever your response is the appropriate response. So not only do you wait for something that comes into your reality for you to respond to, but you also have to respond to it a couple of times to make sure that you've waited your wave out and that you're emotionally clear and have a better understanding of which direction to go in. Does that make sense?
What you mean by that you might have to wait a couple of times, Rick?
You'll have to respond a couple of times.
Respond to the same issue a couple of times?
Right. In other words, if you have an opportunity, somebody presents you with an opportunity, and you think it's a wonderful opportunity, for emotional clarity, the best thing to do is to say, you know what, I'm feeling really good about this offer right now, but let me sleep on it a couple of nights and I'll get back to you.
Yeah, boy.
And that's the mitigating factor of the emotional wave in there with the manifesting generators. And believe me, emotional manifestors have it tough, but emotional manifesting generators have it even tougher because they don't like to slow down.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting to me about all that is I'm almost 56, and I don't feel I have a definable wave of emotions. Now, granted, when I was, you know, biologically driven and menstruating, these waves were very pronounced and very palpable. But now, man, I feel like I'm just cruising, that my emotional state is steady. And what you're telling me is I still have definable waves. So, A, am I not acknowledging them? Or are they so subtle that I'm not sensing them?
Is that you, Kim?
Yes, dear heart. Sorry, I did not identify myself. It's Kim.
That's okay. I'm getting pretty good at recognizing voices. There's actually three different types of waves, and depending on what connections you've got to your solar plexus, that'll determine the kind of wave that you have. And if you've got, in other words, there's individual, tribal, and collective energy flowing through that solar plexus. If you've got more than one type of connection, then that can smooth things out a little bit more so. But I've worked with several manifesting generators who don't have a clearly defined, I'm up for this length of time, I'm down for this length of time. What was really more definable for them was when they were in the middle. There was, for instance, this one lady that I worked with, there was no real discernible pattern to when she was up or when she was down, but it was a very clear pattern when we tracked it over a period of a month that every 2 to 3 days she was in the middle. So she knew for her to reach clarity, she needed to basically say, I need to sleep on this for two nights.
Okay, so what you're really advising me to do is to track those subtleties.
Oh, absolutely. The only way to really, really recognize where your clarity comes in is to track your emotional wave. And what I generally tell people is, you know those little spiral pocket notebooks you can get from the pharmacy?
Sure.
Just take one of those and just break it up into morning and afternoon, or morning, afternoon, and evening. And then just write a couple of words about how you're feeling at different points throughout the day. The key element there, though, is make sure you do it after you've had a little bit of time, for instance, half an hour to an hour, by yourself, away from anybody else, away from any other influences or anything like that, and just write down, how are you feeling? After a couple of weeks, go back and look through it, maybe track it, you know, do a little chart for yourself and show how you were feeling at each point. Even if there's no discernible up or down, chances are you will find a discernible, you'll find a pattern to when you're in the middle. When you're even keel.
I'll do it. Thank you.
Sure. Now, it may take more than just a couple of weeks. With this lady, we did it for 2 weeks, and the pattern hadn't really established itself clearly, so we did it for two more weeks, and then we could tell.
Okay. Good. Point taken.
So, Peter?
Yes? That's a great point, Rick. I was just, I was contemplating Kim's feeling her emotional wave more before. And one of the things that came to mind was were you feeling more emotional when you were in that relationship where you weren't allowed to do things? And did that contribute to the change?
Oh, yes, 100%. It was that and the fact, you know, that my biological clock was still ticking. But, yes, now I'm just content and happy, and I love my life. The emotions before were frustration, anger, resentment, bitterness. I could go on and on and on, but I won't. Now, you know, life's pretty darn sublime.
I would just say two things. One, there's the potential for when you're in relationship like that, there's the potential for other emotional energy to come in. But the imagery that I was getting from this and looking at your chart is if you imagine a pressure pot, you know, a pressure cooker, and it's got that tight top, or even a soda bottle, that, you know, fizzy soda, and you've got the top tight on there. And you shake it up, and the energy can't go anywhere. The fizz or the steam can't get out. And with your design, you've got this emotional manifesting energy that's trying to flow up from the root to the solar plexus. And then, again, we're looking at Kim's chart, and going from the root to the solar plexus and the solar plexus to the throat where it can be expressed. But because you were being suppressed, just like the top on that soda bottle or the top on the pressure cooker, that energy couldn't get out. And so what I'm seeing is that just that really exaggerated your emotional wave,
right?
Because it wouldn't allow that energy its escape. And so it was just elongating or elevating those waves up and down. And once you remove that pressure top, it's now allowed to flow more freely.
Well, what's extra interesting is when I was in that situation, I was ill all the time. I had pneumonia 4 times, appendicitis, cataract surgery in both eyes. It was manifesting physically.
Mm-hmm.
Like going sideways to my spleen, I guess.
Yep.
Okay. Understood.
That makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't it?
It does, because I'm just now realizing that you have every single center defined in your chart.
Is that a good thing?
Generally, that happens for people when they come into contact with other people, because the connections are made that allow definition to all the open centers. And most people have a combination of open centers and defined centers. I've met a few people that have every center filled in, but what that really means is you have reliable, consistent energy flowing of every type flowing through your design. The only thing you need are the connections from others to get those energies to meet. You're also what's known as a triple split definition. So your energy falls into three distinct groups in your chart.
I almost feel like I need another college degree to understand all this.
Well, the other thing that what I'm picking up from the conversation is that you have moved from a place of not being able to express yourself to a place of having no limits on how you can express yourself.
That's right.
And because of that, I would say you're probably so much more better able to live out your design, you know, live out according to your strategy and with your emotional wave and all that, so that a lot of these things are now finally able to get expressed. A lot of this energy is finally able to be expressed, not just without limitation, but without resistance. And once you take all of that out of the equation, the limitations and the resistance and all that, things really do flow a whole lot more smoothly. And when you add to that learning your design and knowing what your strategy is and doing things in accordance with your strategy, then everything falls into place and just becomes this synchronistic, almost surrealistic experience of life that just makes every day seem like it's, you know, something special and miraculous.
Oh, that's so well said.
Well, thank you.
Very true. Oh, thank you.
And I would think that you, because you went through that where that expression was being suppressed, that you will find expressions of yourself that are new to you in a way, that are just sort of coming forth because they now have the space to come forth.
Interesting. Keep my eye open for those.
And you were talking about writing. I think that's probably a beautiful outlet for that.
It will
give more space for that.
Well, thank you so much for allowing such a newbie to ask so many questions. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, again, just to address your concern, I guess, about needing a degree, you know, human design is like the onion. There are just so many layers. And really the first layer to focus on is being yourself, is living the energy in your chart and primarily living your type, manifesting generator, and your strategy. And, you know, and we've talked on the show already about, as a manifesting generator, make sure that you're responding, that you can push the line a little bit on initiating, and make sure that you're doing things that make your heart sing.
Now, am I clear in understanding that all manifesting generators have a theme of frustration?
Ricardo, I'll let you take that one.
Wow. I would say that frustration is a theme of the manifester. No, I'm sorry. It's a theme of the generator. Every generator, everyone with a sacral center defined. And Peter, correct me if I'm getting these backwards. I tend to do that sometimes. But
nope.
Every generator has a theme of frustration, and that frustration comes from not wanting to wait, not wanting to wait to respond. The manifester has a theme of anger. And it's because they just want to go out and do. They don't want to sit there and let anybody else know what they're doing. And so other people get angry with them for not being informed. And quite the opposite, when somebody does something that impacts a manifestor and don't inform the manifestor gets angry. As the secret love child, the manifesting generator tends to take on both of those themes. Not to the same extent, but I would say probably more so frustration than anger, but I would dare say that for the manifesting generator, they both kind of go hand in hand.
Is that true for the two of you, Barbara and Michelle?
Totally agree. I do get quite frustrated. There's things happening at work at the moment, and I get so frustrated because I don't get informed. And then if something happens, I get angry, and people describe my anger with, one minute I'm fine, the next minute I go from 0 to 100 and then back to 0 again. That means, yes, I do get angry and I do get frustrated very quickly if things doesn't go the way I like it to go. Sorry, it's Michelle.
For me, it's like, you know, you're trying to work through anger and fear and all these emotions in your life, working on different levels. But I think certainly I have those experiences of feeling frustrated and angry. And I guess, you know, these guys keep saying live your design. I think when I'm more aware, as I have been lately, I'm not as angry and I'm not as frustrated. And I'm really trying to inform people a lot more. I know my sister said, my son's a manifester, and my sister has said that our family is just so bad at informing people and letting them know when we're going to arrive, if we're going to be late, or, you know, we just kind of assume. And I think I'm becoming more aware that I need to inform people of what I'm doing and not go into a huge amount of detail, but at least let them know I'm still alive or whatever. And I think, you know, once I start living my design more effectively, I find I'm not as angry and I'm not as frustrated, and I'm just more, I feel like right now, like I'm very much being an observer, to tell you the truth, and I think that I'm kind of in this middle space at the moment, so we shall see what comes next.
Thank you. That's fascinating.
I'd like to comment on it in just that, especially the way Michelle described it, it's so manifesting generator of you all to multitask these emotions. You've got frustration, you've got anger. Michelle is 0 to 100 and back to 0 with the speed of thought. So it's so woven in there, in the expression. And then my second point is that I really feel that seeing, a lot of people see that and they don't like it. And, you know, because it's frustration or it's anger or it's bitterness, I really see a beauty in it, in that it is a wake-up call. If you're feeling frustration, if you're feeling anger, it's a flag to you. Something's going on that's not allowing me to be who I am, to be a manifesting generator. And so you can be frustrated or angry about that, or you can use it as a sign, as a marker to try to dig into, okay, what am I frustrated about? What am I not being allowed to do? Because then you can take action about it. If you get wrapped up in that emotion, then all you can do is get more frustrated or angry. But if you use it as, hey, wait a minute, I'm feeling frustration again, or I'm feeling anger again, what is it about the situation? Somebody didn't inform me? You can take action. Somebody is not allowing you to do? You can take action. So I think that's really, for me, trying to weave strategy into knowing human design, that's really where you can use the theme to your advantage.
That's so cool. Thank you.
And it's not easy. You know, I'm a generator, and I've been at the point where I work with the computer a lot, and I want to punch my computer screen. And in that moment, it's not always easy to take that step back. But, you know, it definitely is a sign that, you know, the computer's not cooperating. I need to take a break, or, you know, I need to go at this a different way, or whatever it is.
That's such a good point, Peter, that the frustration, a lot of people look at these the emotional frustrations. Every single type has an emotional theme. I should say not emotional frustration. Every type has an emotional theme associated with it, and it's not always a bad thing. I mean, the emotional theme for projector is bitterness, but looking at it from the viewpoint that you just presented, Peter, is fantastic, because that means it's just another tool. If we learn to use it that way, it's just another tool to indicate to us when we're following our path and when we're not, when we're functioning within our strategies and when we're not. Because to be honest, when you follow your strategy, you lessen the impact of that emotional theme. When you don't follow your strategy, you experience more of that emotional theme.
Well, you know, I was just thinking, too, about what Kim had said, because I think over the last couple of years, I've really been frustrated without knowing, you know, really recognizing what it was about, and I've been quite sick, you know, and so it's interesting that you can be so frustrated and sort of suppressing things to a degree in which it really impacts on your physical body.
And that really is so true in a lot of the people that I've talked to. If you have energy in your design that's not being allowed to be expressed, that's being stifled, that, you know, it's a generator you're not being allowed to do, for example, or a manifesting generator, you're not allowed to express that energy, or you don't have a particular energy in your chart, like you don't have will energy and you're using will energy consistently, both of those situations usually end up with the body taking a physical hit in some form or another. And, you know, this just really supports live your design, live your strategy, live the energies in your chart, and you're going to be physically healthier.
Very, very much so. As a matter of fact, I do several energy healing techniques, and that's a tenet, really, through anybody who's an energy healer will tell you there is a direct connection between the physical and the energetic. When one's off, the other will be, and it works both ways.
Mm-hmm. So, Ricardo, in looking at the charts again, Michelle and Barb carry the similarity of having the 3420. You want to talk about that channel? Because that's actually a very common design. It's not the most direct route, but it's pretty common for manifesting generators to have that 3420.
And I'll put it this way. That is the only pure manifesting generator channel there is. There are only four direct connections from a motor to the throat. Two of them come from the solar plexus, one from the heart, and one from the sacral. And the one from the sacral is the only one that creates a manifesting generator with just that one connection. And this, beyond anything else, is the channel of the multitasker. The gate 34, that 3420 is made up of two gates, the one in the sacral, which is gate 34, and the one in the throat, which is gate 20. The one in the throat, gate 20, is known as the gate of the now. Gate 34 is the gate of power, or in other words, the gate of being busy. So coming together, this is all about being busy now. And being busy now for a manifesting generator means doing five or six different things at once. So it's not just about having something to do, it's about making sure there's no downtime to get bored.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, because it is a manifesting generator channel, in other words, it's energy from the sacral to the throat, it's not just about being busy. If you follow your strategy, and remember the strategy for a manifesting generator is to respond first, then that means that what you're really here to do is to be busy with the things that draw you to them. In other words, the things that you really feel good about, the things that your sacral says, ooh, this is going to be yummy, let's do this. When you allow yourself to respond in that way, then what you're busy with is going to be an amazing experience for you, but it's also going to be something that you can bring into reality, because remember, the throat is about manifesting as well, bringing things into reality. So what you're busy on, you're going to bring forth into reality, not just for yourself, but for others as well. And you'll probably end up garnering all kinds of support for that project as well, as long as you've entered into it correctly by following your strategy. One of the interesting differences between the two charts, Michelle, you also have gate 10 coming off the G center, the identity center, and joining that 3420. Mm-hmm. And Barb, you've got the other one at the other end of that, which is coming off the spleen, gate 57. So looking at those two, Barb, we've looked at your chart before, so I'm going to go ahead and start with Michelle, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, bringing in gate 10, gate 10 is all about the behavior of the self. This is one where now, when you bring in the behavior of the self, you have the energy to be busy in the moment and acting accordingly. And when you bring those two together, really what you're doing is you're establishing three different connections, because you've got the 3420 going, then you've got the 1020 going, and you've got the 3410 going. And really, all those energies coming together is all about doing the right thing at the right time, being, you know, responding properly through your strategy means that you will then bring in whatever energy you need to bring in to garner the support you need to get the job done. And I'm going to go very quickly here. One of those is the channel of awakening. The 1020 is the channel of awakening, being awake, knowing that you're doing what it is you need to be doing. There's the channel of charisma, which is the 3410. And then, of course, I think the 3420 is the channel of charisma. Now I'm getting myself all confused. I apologize.
It's okay.
But essentially, what's happening is all of these things are coming together to let you know that when you follow your strategy and you enter into the right experience and the right place to exert your energy, to use up your energy, then all of your behavior is going to be the appropriate behavior to do what needs to be done and to garner the support that you need to garner.
Okay. Thank you.
And Barb, looking at it from your connection with the 57 is all about intuitive insight, instincts. What that means is when you follow your strategy and enter into the right kinds of work to engage in, let your intuition guide you as to where to throw those energies. It may be the appropriate thing to get involved in, but it may still have different components in it, some of which may need to happen before others, some may not need to fall in line like that. But when you allow your intuition to get involved in the mix, then it's going to let you know, this is the one that I need to be working on now. And I love that kind of connection, because there's something magical about letting your intuition lead things, because it really does let you know that if you do this now and wait for the other things, then you're going to make either connections or have insights or do something. But really, you're putting some of that power of the 34 into your intuition that says, I'm here to guide you now that you've responded appropriately and entered into this activity. And then you know there's no way that anything's going to be wrong.
Cool. Thanks.
But again, it all stems from following the strategy and making sure that you respond appropriately first. And the other half of that is, if there's a negative response, that means don't do it. Don't get involved in it. Your sacral is telling you, this is not right.
Oh, I wish I'd known that before. This is so important.
everybody for joining us out there. We can stay on the line for a couple minutes and finish this discussion, but for all of those who joined us, thank you for joining the show.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If you guys have any follow-up questions, you can stay on the line if you want.
Yep, I'll be here for a little while.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you, Rick.
Reverend Rick?
Yes.
Can you just explain that part again about the 10 and the 34 and the one that you just explained to me earlier? I'm not 100% sure what you're actually trying to say, what I'm actually supposed to do.
Yeah, I know. I apologize for that. I was noticing the time and letting myself get flustered with it. That when you bring the 10 into the mix, there are four gates, those four, the 34, the 20, the 10, and the 57.
Mm-hmm.
Those four gates, when they're all connected to each other, they form what we call the integration circuit.
Okay.
And integration is all about, it's an individual type of energy, but it's all about the human experience. It's all about being human and being the archetype of human. And when we think in terms of the individual gates, now for you it was the 34, the 20, and the 10. So when we look at those, what we're really looking at is the 10 is the behavior. The 34 is power, the gate of power.
Mm-hmm.
So you add the 34 and the 10 together, what you're really doing is you're empowering your behavior. This is essentially the energy to follow your convictions.
Okay.
What's happening with that, however, is it's a very strong energy and it tends to attract others to it.
Mm-hmm.
So not only is your empowered behavior appropriate for you, as long as you've responded appropriately,
mm-hmm.
It's also dragging other people into it, which means they're going to be attracted to that energy and probably, more than likely, want to assist you in whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish. Because remember that 3420 is being busy, which means you've probably got a project that you're working on or something.
Okay.
But
that
you're
means
also...
When I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That means if I'm working on a project, like I'm doing like a survey or something like that, and I'm putting all my energy into it, like the proper energy, then I'm going to be attracting people to help me for that survey.
Yes and no. Remember, it all stems from the initial response. As long as you have waited out the emotional wave and your sacral response still said, yep, this is yummy, this is what we want to do,
mm-hmm.
then yes, that means your response, your affirmative response is the appropriate one, and you're going to be not only adding power to the ability to work on that project and get it accomplished, which is the 3420, but you're also going to be drawing other people to you through the 3410 and through your behavior. You're going to be empowering your behavior. Now, your behavior is what's going to be attracting to others. It's not because you're trying to. And I would caution you against trying to impact others. What's going to happen is just by doing the things that you would normally do, just by being you and being you in that project,
mm-hmm.
that is what's going to draw other people to you.
Okay,
now,
just be myself, and that's the important thing.
Absolutely. Now, that could be, if it's a project that you work on, say, in your home, let's say you have your office in your home, and you work on it and no one ever sees you working on it, that's okay. That doesn't mean that it won't be impactful, because really
mm-hmm.
what that means is when you sit down for a cup of coffee with somebody
mm-hmm.
and they ask, what are you working on? And you start telling them, well, you're talking about your behavior and your project. And that is what's going to later make the rounds and gather the support and garner the energetic push, I guess, if you will,
mm-hmm.
to bring other people into the mix. They will then come to you. It's not that you have to worry about going out and finding anyone.
Okay. I'm with you now. Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes so much sense. Yes, thank you very much, because I was actually quite scared. I actually want to go out there and do public speaking, and I was so scared that I need to be invited. That means if I need to first go and go out with the wave and make double sure that is exactly what I need to do. And if that is exactly, and I start working on what I'm supposed to be doing, that means I'm working on a project, I will attract. I don't need to actually go to people and say, okay, can you guys help me so that I can go on the thing? I'll be, through my emotional, I'll be attracting those people, even though I'm working from home. Have I got it right?
Yep. And not only that, with the connection between the 10 and the 20, that is one where, as long as you're committed to what's important to you, that's known as the channel of awakening, and it carries the energy of commitment to higher principles.
Okay.
As long as what's of value to you is not being sacrificed or compromised in any way, that just adds even more to that ability, to that energetic form.
Excellent, brilliant. Thank you very, very much, Reverend
Michelle.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add that I think it's important for you to understand that that channel that Ricardo was just talking about, adhering to higher principles, that you need to understand that your principles aren't necessarily the same as other people.
Okay.
And so I know that sometimes if people don't return the behavior that that you expect from yourself, you get disappointed. And it's not a reflection of you, it's a reflection of them, that for them, you know, their principles aren't always going to match your principles. And so it's going to be natural for you to feel disappointment, but understand that it's not personal. It's personally directed at you. It's just that they don't believe that that behavior is as important as you do.
Okay, fine. Because in the past, I have actually drawn it quite emotionally to me, thinking, oh, it's all my fault. But I think me taking baby steps in the direction of working with the angels and doing public speaking, I think I'm learning and taking baby steps that it's not always against me that people are directing it. It's just their way of, or their choice of how they want to respond to things.
Yep. Yep, very much so. As a matter of fact, it's been said before, and I know there's differing views on this, but I tend to subscribe to it, and that is other people's behavior speaks volumes about themselves, not about you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so very much.
And with that energy of the channel of awakening, it's all about you being committed to your higher principles, to your values.
Okay.
With the understanding that other people are going to have theirs, that there's a mutual respect there. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember, it's never personal. It's always energetic. The connections that need to be made will be made. The connections that are not right, there will be something there to prevent those connections from being made.
Okay. Brilliant. Thank you so very much, Reverend Rick and Peter. Really, really do appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, and enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to say goodbye because I need to get myself ready. But I'll speak to you guys soon.
Okay.
Good luck.
Bye, Michelle.
Bye-bye, Michelle.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Barbara Kim, do you guys have any questions at this point?
Well, frankly, I have so many I wouldn't even know where to begin. I don't even want to start. I'm going to defer to Barb.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say Michelle had it right. Baby steps.
Baby steps.
You know.
I'm going to write that down. Baby steps.
there's a great movie. What About Bob? Have you guys seen that?
It sounds familiar.
It has Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss, and Bill Murray plays this agoraphobic person that struggles to go outside, and Richard Dreyfuss is a psychologist that wrote this book called Baby Steps, and or it has a passage about baby steps, and it's just, it's very entertaining, but it's very apropos to this endeavor that it's, you know, it's just putting one foot in front of the other, learning a little bit, living your design, and you know, you'll get there.
Well, if Barb has no questions, I'm going to just say one thing. My profile is a 3-5 that's a martyr heretic. Now, being a writer, those words are very strong. A martyr and a heretic? I mean, and I was raised by an alcoholic mother, and my job was to always take care of her, and it was very, very hard, and I always felt like the martyr as my father was off living his life and I was tending this raging alcoholic. And then the heretic comes up for me in graduate school, where I was always picking research topics that would piss off my grad faculty group. You know, they were a bunch of men, and I was picking Islamic gynecology, you know. And they were pissed off all the time. I was a heretic in my own discipline. Are those, and yet, what am I trying to say? They're very strong words. Do I have to continue to be a martyr in my whole life?
You can change those words to be anything you want them to mean.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is, remember, it's all about energy. And the energy of the third line in your profile is all about experiencing everything you can possibly experience to develop wisdom and knowledge about it. So your base for your life wisdom is going to come through an experiential, and some people would say an experimental nature. And the reason that it's referred to as the martyr is because the rest of us can learn from watching you go through the things that you go through, and we don't have to. So essentially, you're being martyred on the cross of your own experiences for the benefit of others.
Okay, then it makes sense.
The heretic is something similar in that it shows only, you know, the heretic is energy that is a projected energy. Other people think they know you, and that happens to be one of my profile lines as well. People say they think they know you, and then all of a sudden they get to know another side of you, another aspect, and suddenly their entire view of who you are changes or is shattered in an instant, and that's why they refer to that as the heretic, because suddenly we're no longer who they thought we were, and yet we haven't done anything to change who we are. We don't need to show every side of ourselves in every situation. We just show what's appropriate for the circumstances.
Okay, then it all makes sense. Thank you so much. I'm glad I asked.
You're welcome. True. Peter's actually got an interesting story about the profile names and stuff in regards to his wife and what happened when she heard hers.
she threw it away. She got it in the mail from Karen Curry's site, and threw it in the trash because she was the investigative martyr. And
I kind of like that one.
the terms come from the guy Ra Ru, who brought the system forward, and he has shock, and so he uses shock in trying to get people to wake up to you know, because even though those are hard words, you in your description described it exactly. You have been, you know, you have been a martyr heretic in the eyes of some. And, you know, and so I think what Ra is trying to do is like, hey, you know, wake up and look at it really. I mean, to those professors, you were a heretic. It was heresy what you were trying to do your project on.
Here in graduate school. You know, they got really harsh on me. And in doing the Association for Women Funeral Directors, I can see elements of both as well.
Yep. Just to shed a little bit of light on Ra's nature, he does have the gate of shock. Even in his description of the emotional wave and waiting out the emotional wave, the example he gives is of a woman who wants to kill her husband. And when is the appropriate time for her to do it? Should she decide to do it? Well, not when she's down on her wave. because she's only got half the picture. Not when she's up on her wave, because she's only got half the picture. But if she wants to kill him when she's down on her wave and wants to kill him when she's up on her wave, then you know that she's gone through the clarity part. She's gone through the middle part. So now you know, yes, you should kill your husband.
She knows what to do.
That's the kind of energy that Ra has. He likes to do things that are out of the ordinary and, you know, just very stark like that. He likes to shock people with these things, and so that's where a lot of that terminology came from.
Hey, well, he did. He fulfilled his mission.
And also the fifth line, the heretic, is here to shake things up, is here to make change.
Yeah,
that fits.
And you know what? We would be remiss if we didn't actually mention the other aspect of the fifth line, which is they are here to show the mature expression of an energy.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and for you, especially as a martyr heretic, as a 3-5, all that experience, all that experimentation in the younger years, in the early half of life, is what helps define what is the appropriate energy or energetic expression to have in these other situations. And that fifth line is the one that says, I'm going to show you what the appropriate type of expression is. So there's a lot of accumulated wisdom from the third line experience that gets expressed through the fifth line projection, I guess.
I am so pleased that I came on the show, the call today, and I'm so pleased I requested my report. I can sense that there's more here to discover, and I look forward to getting to know the both of you better. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, Kim.
Barb, are you sure you don't have any questions?
No, well, I always have questions, millions of them. Could you just go over the Sleeping Phoenix part?
Wow. You know, I was looking at that earlier and realized that's one that I really don't know anything about.
Hmm. Okay.
Peter, do you know anything about the Sleeping Phoenix?
Well, the Sleeping Phoenix... The Sleeping Phoenixes to me represent a couple of things. The first is that I really feel a resonance with the whole Phoenix part of it. That the story of the Phoenix is that they have this very cyclical pattern to themselves. They rise from the ashes in a magical form. They rise from the ashes. They have this burst of activity where they really are manifesting, or they are creating something magical. And when that's all done, they burst into flames and go back into ashes again, only to at a later time be recreated. So there's this very cyclical nature to them. They have this magical energy in the Sleeping Phoenix. Let me just double check that I'm right here. Yeah, part of the Sleeping Phoenix is you have the 3420 channel is in the Sleeping Phoenix. So they have this energy that's very powerful. All Sleeping Phoenixes share that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's that power of creation. That's the manifesting generator pure channel that Ricardo was talking about. In addition, there's a second aspect to it that... that Ra talks about, that there's a mutation coming in 2027. And it's at that time that right now the awareness in human design is driven from the spleen, and it's going to mutate and be driven from, or the solar plexus is going to be taking over the awareness within humans. And that's going to begin, but it's a 100-year process or more for humanity to realize it, but it's going to begin in 2027. And the Sleeping Phoenixes are here to support that mutation.
Hmm.
And so they're here to support that mutation. the new ones that will be coming in will be really living that out, but the Sleeping Phoenixes that are here now are here to basically support that energy. And so they're unique in that way currently on the planet, because this is the first mutation since, I believe, the 1700s, when we moved to a 9-centered system.
From a
7-centered system.
You know, when you think about indigos, like sort of the early indigos, blah blah blah. Does that sort of fall in there somehow? Do you think?
I think it's all related, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I think indigos have been around for thousands of years, not just the last couple hundred. And I think they've always been the messengers of a change for humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that change occurs quickly. Sometimes that change occurs very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I wanted to add to what Peter was saying, I may not know much about the Sleeping Phoenix, but when you look at the four gates that make up that cross,
mm-hmm.
3420 is half of it. You have the 55 and the 59 as the other half. And the 59 is all about breaking down barriers. So the 3420 is the channel of charisma. It's all about, you know, having that energy that attracts others and you know, and being busy and garnering support. But then the 59 added to the mix is all about breaking down the barriers to whatever union needs to be established. And then the 55 is the gate of spirit, which is having the right emotional spirit to engage in all of that. So I would say that all of that plays into your cross.
And I think, Barb, in terms of the indigo stuff, I think it's definitely related. I think there's distinct purposes for each, but it's definitely related, because the indigos are really, I think, about changing the way that we act as society. And part of the solar plexus mutation is that basically, the solar plexus is ultimately connected to the sacral, and which is about reproduction. And essentially, with this mutation, the sex drive will diminish within humans, and it will become more of a it will potentially become more of a community-oriented. Raising children will become more community-oriented, essentially,
mm-hmm.
And in a lot of the indigos, they're not necessarily into one-on-one relationships. A lot of the indigos, they're into sort of like pods. At least that's the way my daughter is. She in a way would much rather have a pod of three or four tight friends than a one-on-one relationship.
And
I've heard that reflected from other parents of indigos or other kids of that generation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that seems to follow what Ra describes as the mutation around the solar plexus and around reproduction.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Well, I got to head out, but it's been great talking to you guys.
Wonderful. Thank
you. Yeah, absolutely. This was a great show. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Always my pleasure. Ricardo, before you go, I was thinking of next week doing a extending the show to 90 minutes and basically doing a question and answer show. I've been getting more emails. It feels like there's a lot of questions out there.
Yeah, I was watching the chat room too. There's a conversation that goes on in the chat room that doesn't get a chance to get aired on the discussion. It seemed more personal today than at other times, but I think that would be great, because then we can help it. You know, we can address some of the issues and questions and stuff that are coming up in there as well.
Yeah, Absolutely. That's definitely nice. Like to integrate that a little bit more.
Yeah. Cool beans. Yeah, that sounds great.
Everyone have a wonderful Saturday. And
you too.
Barb, if you're a mom, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. I am. Happy to you too.
Thank you. Thank you.
And since you guys are sons, happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yes.
Thank you very much.
I forgot about that side of things.
That's sort of backhanded, Barb.
That makes me want to call
right.
my mom.
Get out there and do something.
That's the message. Could you call my son and tell him to call his mom?
What, are you trying to manifest that?
Yeah. I'm speaking it.
Something to respond to first.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye, all.
Bye.
Bye, Kim. Bye, Barb.
Bye.
Bye, Rick.
Bye, Peter.